This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Mayor Rubin in New York. The owner of the Wagner private military group made his most direct challenge to the Kremlin yet. Friday, he called for an armed rebellion. Today, he says he is inside the Rostov Army headquarters and controls the city's military sites. CBS's Ian Lee has the latest.
There is no love lost between the head of the Wagner mercenary group and Russia's Ministry of Defense, but the war of words has exploded in public. Yevgeny Prigozhin, who leads the Wagner mercenary group, has accused the Russian military of a deadly missile strike on his troops, allegedly killing dozens. In an audio message on social media, he's vowed to march for justice and punish those responsible.
The feds want to delay former President Trump's documents trial to December. CBS's Scott McFarlane tells us why.
The special counsel Jack Smith recommends December 11th for this projected two-week trial of former President Trump that runs right up against Christmas. As part of his motion late Friday night, Smith says the case involves classified information and that defense lawyers need the requisite time to get the requisite security clearances.
The tragic end of the Titan submersible is raising questions about whether the company operating it took shortcuts on safety. WBZ-TV's Chris Tanaka has the latest from Boston.
Both Canada and the U.S. have now launched investigations into the catastrophic implosion of the Titan. Thousands of feet below sea level, remotely operated vehicles continue to probe for evidence that might reveal what caused the tragedy.
We can go back to the blueprints and reconstruct parts of the vessel and then subject those materials to the kind of cycles that the vessel went through.
Some of the families of the five people killed in the implosion are calling for an investigation.
Major demonstrations planned today in Washington a year after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Here's CBS's Willie James Inman.
President Biden is marking 1 year since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade.
President Biden and Vice President Harris stand with the majority of Americans who believe the right to choose is fundamental.
The president is using the occasion to issue a new executive order. The order strengthens access to birth control pills through the Affordable Care Act, Medicare, and Medicaid services. It also tries to ensure access to pills for veterans and service members through other federal programs.
A total of 15 states have stopped nearly all abortion services. Traffic is moving again on a section of I-95 outside Philadelphia that was just repaired and opened today. This is CBS News.
Hiring's a lot easier with Indeed. Their powerful platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Look up cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk. Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Matinere.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday or is it Dom's or Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Yeah.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Well, sometimes it's educated educators talking education. Tonight, well, actually, we still have educated educators talking education. Johnny, somewhere stuck in traffic in Portland, Oregon. We wish you well, my friend. We hope you get back to Washington safely. It is Busted Pencils. It is fully leaded education talk. And I am your host, Dr. Tim Slecker. Lots of things going on educationally, but tonight we had to revisit an issue that was, you know, really got a lot of callers, a lot of people talking. It's kind of disappeared from, you know, the mainstream media. Wonder why. But the whole issue of student loans, when we talked to our friend from Student Loan Justice, Alan Collins, we talked about the, you know, the Biden proposal to forgive upwards of $20,000 down to $10,000. We had some great people calling in saying, what a wonderful idea. This is great. We should do this. Alan, though, is kind of always pushing on the going, like, we just need to get rid of the whole darn program. You know, we need bankruptcy. We need it put back in there. Oh, since then, though, if you've been following the student loan tale, a couple people, quote, you know, were offended that they somehow would or either be going to be included, excluded. I don't know, but they filed a lawsuit. It made it all the way to the Supreme Court, while whole bunches of really incredibly important cases are still not even allowed to get near the Supreme Court. Somehow, a couple jokers like me who found themselves offended got their court case all the way up to the Supreme Court. The pause, as they called it. We put a pause on student loan forgiveness while the Supreme Court makes some form of a decision as to whether or not these people have, quote, standing. And if they have standing, well, then we're going to put student loans, you know, We're getting rid of cancellation. However, our friends at studentloanjustice.org and Alan, welcome back to the show. We really appreciate you having on. You're saying, hey, Tim, forgiveness, boycotts, all that, move on, whole new discussion going on. Alan, tell us what's happening on the student loan justice front.
Yeah, good to be with you, Tim. You know, this whole conversation about this, quite frankly, meager $10,000, $20,000 loan cancellation, I really think it was a politically contrived animal for probably the purposes of vote getting by the Biden administration in the first place. I think it was kind of designed to fail. But, you know, we have to take two steps back here, and we've got to look at the entire lending program at this point. Even before the pandemic, nearly 60% of all federal student loan borrowers had stopped paying on their loans. And so that's like nearly two thirds of all borrowers not making payments before the pandemic. And after 3.5 years and, you know, 8%+ inflation that is sucking every dollar that the borrowers were saving because of this repayment pause out of them, I'm sorry, but at this point, any honest observer kind of has to say, I think this lending system may be catastrophically failed at this point. If 60% weren't paying before the pandemic, what do you think? My best estimate is that somewhere between an 80-85% of all borrowers are simply not going to resume paying. So you can call that a
Yeah, we're going to say is that an educated guess, a thought, a wish, a movement, maybe all of the above. You know, again, the number, though, if you want to jump in, 844-967-2789, Alan Collins, Student Loan Justice. We're talking about the next phase. In fact, Alan, we're going to go right to the phones because we have Gordon from Florida on the line. And again, we want to jump in and make sure that everybody has their voice to say, Gordon, what's the deal in Florida? What are you doing? Student loans, are you going to start paying in 60 days or whenever? Gordon, you're on Busted Pencils. What's up?
Oh, thank you for taking my call. Now, I'm one of the very few people that is so poor that I'm on income-based repayment, okay, which means 10% of my discretionary income is 10% of zero. And so I don't have a conflict of interest. Now, the most important thing that you're going to hear all night is that you have a whole bunch of us, about one third or one half of Alan's group, are far right conservatives like me. I mean, you can Google Gordon Wayne Watts. Okay, I'm conservative on every single. I make Rush Limbaugh look like a Girl Scout. No offense to my Girl Scout friends. So, I mean, I nearly won the largest pro-life case since Roe. I got involved in a bunch of other things, but I'm fiscally conservative too, meaning that I viewed college tuition as a tax. Now, Alan, it took poor Alan two or three times to pound into my thick skull that bankruptcy would not cost the taxpayers. But this is the most important thing that y'all are going to hear all night. Now, the student loan cancellation, whether it goes your way or not, is not going to be a long-term solution. And everyone on both sides agree that. If the student loan bankruptcy legislation doesn't happen, two things are definitely going to happen. Students are going to be naked and defenseless. I mean, gamblers have credit and credit card users have bankruptcy defense. There won't be any long-term protection from predatory lending. And so the liberals and the Democrats, that's the other side, are totally correct. But this is even more important. The taxpayers will continue to spend trillions of dollars. There's only one thing under heaven, short of a miracle from God himself, that's going to make the Department of Ed stop lending trillions to students that won't ever repay back. And that's the threat of bankruptcy defense, which is, for example, why credit card users are not loaned a lot of money. Now, here's something that's very important that Alan also might mention, is that students have actually repaid way more than they borrowed. So technically, college tuition is a tax, and it should be canceled on that grounds alone. But I personally don't care if they cancel it or not. And I'm actually pulling for Joe Biden to lose. And here, even though he more legally, he actually has the authority to cancel everything under the Higher Education Act. And so he actually should win big time. And at the moral point, the students have been raped, I think is the proper word. I don't want to use an improper word, but I mean, students have really been cheated. But I'm actually hoping that the students lose, and here's why. Because if the students win, they're going to use this as an excuse to paper this over and ignore us. The students should have risen up and demanded bankruptcy as a long-term solution to force the lending to be responsible, and that would force tuition down because colleges would see the students don't borrow as much. But if the students have been very slackers, and the only thing under heaven that's going to make the students call the lawmakers and demand bankruptcy get returned to avert a crash of the
Well, Gordon, I'll tell you what, the only thing under heaven that might be, you know, something that could do something is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. That's what we're doing. Alan Collins, Student Loan Justice. Lots there from Gordon, Alan, but and we've talked about bankruptcy, and I'm going to spend some time, you know, maybe a little bit later in the show, but we're really looking at this issue right now, this potential that I've been seeing of saying, you know, what's going to happen? We now know that, quote, you know, 60 days after the Supreme Court rules, repayment is going to start. And this is where I start seeing people going, well, you know what? I can't afford it. I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. Is that an orchestrated movement, or is that just the result of a system that is not sustainable?
I think it's just reality, Tim. It's just reality. Can't pay, won't pay. You can call it, people like to call it a strike or a boycott. You know, I disagree. I think what we're looking at is the slow motion deletion by public unconsent of a unconstitutionally predatory lending program. I know Gordon said a lot back in the last call there, but he raises a very important point. You know, the founding fathers called for uniform bankruptcy laws, aka rights, in the Constitution. Like, these people were being, you know, savaged under debt to British banks and merchants, from George Washington to Thomas Jefferson and many others. And this has been uniquely stripped from student loans. It literally lies at the core of all the hyperinflation that we've seen in the price of college, the massive increase in borrowing. And honestly, I don't think that we're going to see anything meaningful from the people in Washington, D.C., unless and until we get this constitutionally enshrined right of bankruptcy returned. Nobody wants to file. But the point is, the citizens have got to get that leverage back. That's what we're fighting hardest for between now and September 1st, because when these loan payments are turned back on, it has the potential to be an absolute bloodbath. It could get really ugly.
So we definitely want, quote, bankruptcy restored. Anybody listening to this should be going, wait. Hopefully you're going, wait, what do you mean their bankruptcy should be restored? I didn't know it was taken away. It's like, yeah, Alan, it's worth talking about this. It's like, how many people, you know, I can do a really bad business deal. I can really get overhead on my credit cards, you know, and even President Trump bankruptcy. It's one of the best things in America. It allows you to go out and start all over again, right? Except student loans somehow are uniquely, and I use this word carefully, special, in the fact that bankruptcy, no. In fact, almost, I mean, there's a little bit of wiggle room there. But however, for the most part, we have said, if you have a student loan and you declare bankruptcy, you can wipe out all that other stuff. However, that student loan, of which you took out $15,000 25 years ago and have now paid $45,000 back, but still owe another $60,000, you can't declare bankruptcy on that because you need to pay that back, darn it. I mean, this is the reality, Alan, right?
Yeah, those are the numbers we're seeing. And, you know, at this point, the entire federal student loan portfolio is by and large profit. Like, the federal government, the taxpayers have done exceedingly well in, I would say, extracting unearned wealth from the citizenry, but, you know, they have done just fantastically well on this. And the linchpin of this whole thing is the unique stripping of bankruptcy protections. You know, it's like you said, corporation, everybody for every other type of loan has by and large the same sort of access to the bankruptcy courts, but for student loans. So that should be telling people something. I think the founding fathers, despite all their faults, they had something right when they called for uniform bankruptcy laws ahead of the power to declare war and raise an army, by the way, in the Constitution.
But okay, so we want bankruptcy, but I'm gonna give you, you know, here it is, you know, a absolute real person, real statistic. Karen in Florida borrowed 60, repaid all that 60, still owes 250 grand. That's not a hypothetical. That's a reality. And so, Alan, when you put that together and say, like, okay, she paid back everything she borrowed and she's still doing that. And people talk about, like, wait a minute, if we forgive student loans, this is this massive deficit. But if that statistic is true, there's been more than enough money paid back, hasn't there? When we get back, busted pencils, fully leaded, more student loan forgiveness when we get back.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of insane out there. In roller derby, it's not a game, it's a bout. And each jam is filled with insane drive blocks and rushing soul crushes that rip shivers through your toe stops. Pace line, pivot line, jam a grand slam, whip a scoring pass, or you're down with rink rash. Yeah, there's a whole lot of insane out there. And every Wisconsin roller derby girl knows to be insanely good on the flat track, you can't be insanely drunk. And if you can't be drunk on those wheels, you'd be super insane to roll drunk on your car's wheels. So take it from Wisconsin's best jammers, blockers, and pivots. When it comes to driving,
drive sober on the road,
no matter how many wheels you roll.
Because you can't lap the pack with an OWI riding your back. So ladies and guys, drive sober or get pulled over. And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways. Download the free Drive Sober app with a Find a Ride feature, awesome videos, and more at witrafficsafety.org.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for organized crime, racketeer influenced and corrupt organizations act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Matinere.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
Who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Right through the undertow. That's what we do here every Tuesday night. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Sagan's back there. Gotta love that. We give it all. We give it all every Tuesday night here. Busted Pencils. Our guest, Alan Collins, studentloanjustice.org. We're talking about the debacle that is the student loan system. We did a little bit of the history, some forgiveness, the potential that that's on a pause. The Supreme Court now is potentially going to say yes or no, whether the $20,000 down to $10,000 can be, quote, forgiven. And Alan, though, was pointing out, and we had a, you know, a great caller from Gordon. We appreciate that. But, you know, the idea here is that, and I'm going to start with this again. So, Alan, I've been paying my student loans. You know, I took out, and when I say, you know, me, I'm creating a hypothetical. So I took out $15,000 over the past 20 years. I paid back $34,000. I owe $41,000 still. When the pause is ended, what should I do?
Well, Tim, in my humble opinion, okay, nobody should pay any more of their hard-earned money into this failed lending system. My best estimate is that 80, maybe 85% of everyone is not going to resume paying. So if you do, well, you know, everybody makes their own decision. I would say that you're going to be in the very small minority of all borrowers. I think the reality for most people, for the vast majority of borrowers, is it just ain't going to happen. And so there's two things that I can tell those people. Number one, we've got to fight as hard as possible to get bankruptcy returned to this debt. It's only with this level playing field that we can expect any of these income-driven repayment programs to actually work. It's the only then that we can expect any meaningful loan cancellation from the president, because honestly, $10,000 or $20,000, that does nothing for the worst hurt people. Very good things will happen when we get bankruptcy rates returned. And I think everything terrible will happen unless and until that happens. So it's a very tough position that we're in. Very tough.
Yeah, I was going to say, because you think about that, and here I am, right? I'm listening to, you know, your advice. I'm a listener out there. Well, in fact, if you're listening, give us a call, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Tell us what you're about to do when and if the student loan pause ends and we have to start repaying. But, you know, Alan, is it a movement of refusal? Is it a movement of boycott? Or is this a symbolic attempt? Because the reality is that we just want bankruptcy. And what about somebody out there who's saying, but Alan, I believe everything you're saying. I think bankruptcy should have never been taken away from student loan borrowers. But right now, like, I need forgiveness. I need cancellation. Bankruptcy ain't my solution, man. Talk to me.
I totally get that. But here's the thing people need to realize. We've seen what Joe Biden is going to do in the absence of bankruptcy rights. When we, the people, get bankruptcy rights returned, well, any president, whether Joe Biden or the next president, they're going to have to cancel student loans very broadly, very deeply, very meaningfully, because there are 38 million people in the country losing sleep over their student loans. And in an average year, fewer than 1 million people file for bankruptcy for any reason. So you can bet that Joe Biden does not want to preside over the by far the largest wave of bankruptcy filings in our nation's history, including the Great Depression. And remember, when people file for bankruptcy, they're going to bring other loans into that. So that's going to impact other debt sectors. So I guarantee you it's a very short path to very meaningful loan cancellation and a lot of other really good things like good faith loan administration, just in general. These are all good things that the founding fathers knew that we had to have when they called for bankruptcy in the Constitution.
The number is 844-967-2789. It's Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. Our guest, Alan Collins from studentloanjustice.org. You have a piece out there, Alan, and I just want to quote from this. The 45 million borrowers, okay, 45 million borrowers, they have had over 2 years to reflect on this debt. In other words, because of the 2 years of the pandemic, the pause, they've seen trillions in economic stimulus, including $1 trillion in PPP loans that don't need to be repaid, thrown out to the country. Much of the stimulus has gone to millionaires, billionaires, and even colleges who have never been in stronger financial position than they are right now. All these giveaways added to the national debt and required money to be printed or drawn from the Treasury. Federal student loans, on the other hand, can be canceled without drawing even a penny from the Treasury or adding even a dime to the national debt. A lot in that paragraph. Start with the very first part. I have watched literally lots of people over the pandemic get lots of loans forgiven. Is that part of the sleeping giant of those student loan people who are out there going, you know what? If this turns in and we don't get cancellation, we don't get something, sorry, the PPP loan stuff, that's unforgivable. I'm sorry, if they got their stuff forgiven, what about me? Is that part of the movement that you think might be sleeping out there waiting? Is that there are people who have said, okay, I'm going to wait as long as I can. But the fact is I know darn well that there were lots of people who got billions and billions of dollars forgiven. What about my 20 grand?
I think that's exactly out there in the zeitgeist, Tim. You know, people aren't stupid. We've seen these $1 trillion of stimulus thrown out of the country and all that stuff added to the national debt. So it's people don't realize student loans, as you said, can be canceled without needing one dime from the Treasury or adding even one penny to the national debt. There's no easier way to stimulate the economy.
And so emphasize this, according to the research that your organization has done too, it's just like, you know, using again, this hypothetical person who took out 60, paid back 60 and still owes another 80,000. The reality is that there's plenty of money that's been paid in. More with Alan Collins, studentloanjustice.org, Busted Pencils, back after the break.
We give it all. This is the razor.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Vladimir Putin addressed his nation today and vowed to defend Russia from those who want to topple the military leadership. CBS's Ian Lee.
President Putin's spokesman says the Kremlin's leader was aware of the situation and all necessary measures were being taken. This is an extraordinary public escalation of infighting inside Russia over how the war is being fought.
Titanic movie director James Cameron questions why it took so long to find that sub.
This entire week has just felt like a prolonged nightmarish charade. I knew that sub was sitting exactly underneath its last known depth and position. That's exactly where they found it.
Today marks 1 year since Roe v. Wade was overturned, President Biden.
The court got Roe right 50 years ago. And I believe Congress should restore the protections of Roe v. Wade once and for all.
Rallies are planned for today. CBS News Brief, I'm Amara Rubin.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Chingris Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Chingris Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Chingris Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday or is it I'm or Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Mattenair.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Education talk, educated educators, talking education callers out there. My goodness, was not paying attention to the chat room, but we have some callers out there. Let's go to Lisa. Is Lisa still out there, Evan? Lisa from LA. Lisa, what's going on?
Hi, good evening. How are you?
Great. So Lisa, talk to us about your student loan issue.
Sure. Well, I'm actually just calling from the perspective of an independent voter on the issue.
Okay.
You know, from my perspective, you know, it's really, really frustrating to see how the Republican leadership of this country, you know, continues to attempt to render the student debt crisis a partisan issue, when the reality is that one out of every five adults in this country of all demographics and party affiliations are burdened by crippling student loan debt. You know, this issue has unfortunately been turned into sort of fodder to feed the culture wars, you know, that are raging across the nation. And, you know, the reality is, you know, contrary to the sort of the narratives that have been pumped through the mainstream media, you know, over half of student loan debt borrowers are either Republican or independent, like myself. And another surprising statistic that we don't hear about in the media is that there are more distressed borrowers over the age of 50 than under the age of 25. You know, where the fastest growing demographic of distressed student loan borrowers are actually senior citizens who are having their Social Security checks garnished over their student loan debt. You know, so, you know, for me, this is an issue that has no place being thrown around as, you know, another culture war that is attempting to divide sort of, you know, coastal elites from the majority of, you know, of the American people. It's very frustrating.
Thank you. Oh, Lisa, I mean, that point right there, the way you bring that home is that, in fact, turning this into a culture war issue as opposed to this being a systemic mass failure that actually affects, you know, not just independents, but Republicans, Democrats. Thank you for that call. I want to go to also the got L.A. Tom out there. And Tom from L.A., L.A. Tom, what's happening, man? We haven't heard from you in a while.
Hey, Tim, how are you, buddy?
All right, man. Good to hear you.
First, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. And I think that with this student loan catastrophe that's coming, we're going to find out that we the people are the government. And you know what? I hope people don't pay their loans back, and I hope they go on basically a strike not to pay it back. You can take the different indices of a person that is married and has children. $16,000 of their money goes to taxes. $16,000 goes to medical insurance. $16,000 goes to a mortgage or rent. $16,000 goes to child care. You know, just the back of a napkin type of things. And that's $64,000. And the average person's making $32,000. Or $30,000 before they even start paying off their student loans or getting food or anything like this. So for the people that are out there that, and the guy that called before that completely voted against his best interest or votes against his best interest, I just hope to God he starts to look up and stop saying government's the problem. We're the problem. We the people. We are the government, and we are the ones that are putting the pressure on the politicians. And you know what? We don't get anything back for our return on investment. We get military-industrial complex. We don't get our education money back from paying taxes. We don't get our pharmaceuticals and our medicals taken care of as a return on investment. All these different things. Child care, we don't get back as a return on investment. I'm a small business owner. And you know what? When I look at something, I think, okay, is this going to bring me back a return on investment? I'm in advertising. And the thing is, for these people out there that call themselves business owners or business people, they don't know crap. Because I'll tell you what, if they did, they wouldn't think that a bomb going up in the sky and blowing up like fireworks is something that's going to bring a return on investment to people's lives. Education brings a return on investment to a society as a whole. And, you know, I even run into people where they say, well, you know what? Maybe they shouldn't get these loans, you know, repaid. I had to pay mine. Well, you know what? Mm-hmm. I paid mine, $30,000, whatever. I went to a private college, St. Norbert College in Green Bay, and I paid my student loans back. But you know what? I know as we the people and as society that we all need to lift up each other. And I didn't pay, 15 and 17% interest. Mine were 3% to almost 0%. So, if they want to do something where, hey, if it helps the conservatives' conscience, if it, do a little bit of community service after they graduate from high school so they can get loans paid for or something, or let's just not be ridiculous and just give these people a free college education so we actually have a more educated society.
Oh, L.A. Tom, we love when you are on the call. Thank you, Colin. And Evan, do we still have Gary from Sussex on the line? If we do, we want to make sure we get to Gary. Gary, you are on Busted Pencils. What's happening in the student loan world for you?
Well, I'm an old guy. I'm 71. Tom and I have gone back and forth. I've talked to Tom many times and listened to Tom. As soon as I get off the phone, Tom just goes into ripping me apart. He's a nice guy. I like Tom. He's very, very smart. And but he's a good guy, you know. As far as I paid off my student loan, my wife paid off her student loan. My kids all went to college. They all paid off their student loans. What bothers me is that these kids, they take out a loan in good faith, and now they don't want to pay it off. The average from, and you can, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, the average student that graduates is in debt of $33,000. That's the price of a used car, a nice used car, like a 2018, you know. But for some reason, these kids just don't want to pay off these loans. It's responsibility. The best thing that we can do is have these kids pay off their loan. If they start out at, you know, 21, 22 years old, and they have student loan forgiveness, you know, that, you know, Biden's going to go out there and say, well, okay, you know, we're going to forgive your loan. My son, he's a conservative like myself, and he's hoping that, you know, Biden goes out there and goes through with this $20,000 forgiveness. You know, these kids, they go to college and they party. Heck, if I'm going to go out there and start paying this off, I'm a small business owner myself. I own an HVAC.
Okay, Gary, I just want to make sure. So, you didn't get any PPP loans, though, did you? During the COVID, did you?
No.
I just want to make sure because we're trying to make this a non-partisan, non-conservative, non-liberal issue, and trying to look at this as a human issue, looking at this idea of how people got into a position of, you know, and I'll come clean and be one of those people who took out and now owes more than I took out, and I paid more than I took out. I'm kind of confused by how you're telling me I haven't done my responsible thing in paying back my loan. I've paid back the balance of my loan and more, and I still owe more than I originally took out. The reality, when we look at that, Gary, is how do we deal with that? And I want, you know, come on, Alan, jump back in there.
Yeah, student loans back in the 1970s are completely different from student loans today. And I hear this comment quite frequently. The people have paid their loans. They've paid and they've paid and they've paid until it bled them dry. And, you know, you talk about kids. We're not talking about kids. Most student loan borrowers are over the age of 35, not under. People over the age of 50, as Lisa pointed out earlier, people over the age of 50 outnumber people under the age of 25 with student loans. And on average, the over 50 crowd owes 300% more than the under 25 crowd. And this is despite having borrowed far, far, far less many years ago. This lending system has been weaponized. And I don't think that people like Tom really understand what's actually going on here.
You mean Gary?
Yeah, sorry, Gary from Sussex, right. Yeah, good point. So you need to kind of forget everything that you hear in the mainstream media about student loans. I'm sorry, but the mainstream media has done just a piss poor job accurately reporting on this problem. The worst hurt states aren't, you know, Massachusetts, California, Oregon. You know, these are not blue-haired liberal snowflakes walking around who don't want to pay their loans. The worst hurt states are like, for example, Texas. The people of Texas owe $141 billion in mostly federal student loan debt. And these people went to community colleges. They went to vocational schools. 40% of them never even graduated. So this is not a red-blue issue at all. What this is a big government, unconstitutional, catastrophically failed lending disaster. And you can feel mad about that if you want, but the loans will not be paid. Mm. The loans will not be paid. They will be canceled.
But, you know, you point that out too. And Gary, again, you know, whether we agree or disagree, we do thank you for the call and bringing that up there. But the idea too is that this simplistic, hey, those kids borrowed the money, they should pay it back. They took out money to go partying. I mean, the reality, Alan, we just pointed out, is that the majority of borrowers are over 35. And then the people over 50, it's like this is not a 21-year-old kid went to party, hey, forgive my loan problems. That's a story that's used to animate people like Gary.
That's used to
It's a story, right?
It's used to stoke the culture wars, which our opposition is doing a great job.
I just want to say my chat room is down. So, Evan, if there is another caller or Alan. All right, Jackie from Texas, you are on the line. Jackie, what's going on?
Speaking of Texas.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'd just like to reiterate the fact that people want to see debt cancellation, or they want to see their interest drop down to 0%. I want them to realize and understand that nothing like that's going to happen. Nothing is going to until we get our bankruptcy rights restored. Bankruptcy rights is kind of like a consequence. If something doesn't go right, or if the education is not, you know, acceptable, then we have an option. Just like if doctors don't do the procedure right or the surgery right, then people have an option to sue. Or if you're going too fast down the road, then the cops have an option or a consequence to give you a ticket. So without any kind of regulation or any kind of checks and balance system, which is inevitably what the bankruptcy right is, it's going to keep the lending into a fair game. And it's also going to keep the colleges from just raising prices sky high. So without that bankruptcy leverage, there's no checks and balance on this federal lending system. It's just going to continue to be a scam. And these colleges are going to continue to be robbing students. It's already been happening for decades, and it's going to continue. So I hope that people can wrap their brains around that one simple fact that we need that leverage. We need that consequence. We need an option when something don't go right, when they're not doing good lending or they're raising the tuition sky high. We need to have an option. We need something we can do on our end.
Alan, feedback there, and then we'll go to break. And I'm going to keep you on for a little bit in the end, but you got a minute there, Alan.
You know, it took the words right out of my mouth, and I would maybe also add that the Republicans have got to do something because they are just killing themselves with the voters on this issue. And people like Jim Jordan, who now runs the House Judiciary Committee, he can return bankruptcy to student loans tomorrow. And we've seen people from the Federalist Society, from George Mason, from the Cato Institute, even Republican conservatives like Matt Gaetz in Florida have all called for the return of bankruptcy rights to student loans. So it's kind of like, what are we doing here, guys?
Wait a minute. You threw out some names there. Okay, I'm definitely going to hold you on over the break. I'm going to give you a few more minutes before the last segment to talk about Matt Gaetz, Jim Jordan, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk, Alan Collins, StudentLoanJustice.org. Lots of callers are out there. What are we going to do when the pause is over? Hey, is there going to be a movement of people saying we're not paying, or is there just going to be a movement of people who can't pay? All we know is we got a dilemma. Busted Pencils, back in the break.
Look up cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition: wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite, and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
something about that song that hits it just right tonight. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. Gotta always love our music there. Anti-Flag coming at us with Turncoat. Sounds like this is a bit of a turncoat issue. Our guest tonight, Alan Collins, studentloanjustice.org. We've had lots of callers, you know, coming into, you know, any day now, potentially we can get the ruling from the Supreme Court as to whether or not the cancellation that President Biden put forward is going to either go forward or be canceled. Alan, we're kind of talking about this, though, from a bigger point of view. We want bankruptcy restored. You know what? When the pause is over, there aren't going to be a lot of many people who can repay. Is there going to be a mass refusal? Is there going to be a boycott? Whole lots of things. But, you know, I wanted to hold you over here for the last segment because you made a point during the last break, though, that somehow this always gets turned into this is a liberal Democrat issue. And you were starting to make a point going, oh, hold on, this is a Republican issue. Tell us more about that, Alan.
This is absolutely a Republican issue. You look at the worst hurt states, we're talking about Georgia, North South Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama, Texas, Florida, Missouri is horrible, Maryland is basically the entire South. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, most people agree, a big government problem. And, you know, follow the money. Who benefits? Well, the colleges are benefiting from it. So it's really head scratching to understand why are the Republicans fighting so hard to keep this lending system intact? It makes no sense at all.
Is it because they're afraid, because it has become a cultural war issue? And if they came out, you know, in favor of student loan cancellation and bankruptcy, they'd be revealing themselves as not cultural woke warriors anymore.
Yeah, I don't think we can expect the Republicans to move at all on student loan cancellation. I think that's just too deeply baked into the cake at this point. But, you know, we're talking about the Republican base. We're talking
but
about.
You said something about Jim Jordan and Matt Gaetz, those, you know, indicating some type of favorability or something. Tell me more about those.
Yeah, Matt Gaetz, Josh Hawley, Senator John Cornyn of Texas. They have all Glenn Grothman, Wisconsin. They've all sponsored bankruptcy legislation for student loans. And I have every hope and expectation that they will do this again. So it's really kind of the rational middle ground. And I'm realistic. But, you know, Jim Jordan controls the House Judiciary Committee now, and he could very easily put in a bill that returned this constitutional right of bankruptcy to student loans from where it should have never been taken away, by the way. So I think that's really the daylight for the Republicans. And, you know, thankfully, that really is the right thing to do. If people out there want to see loans canceled, if they want to see a break on interest, whatever they want to see happen with their student loans, it's probably not going to happen unless and until we, the people, get at least the leverage of bankruptcy returned.
Well, and you L.A. Tom, you hit him right there. We the people. We the people are the government, as Tom points out. Alan Collins, studentloanjustice.org. Check them out. Follow them on Twitter. Give them some props. Make sure you go out there. Everything we're doing, because, again, you know, we're really saying we need fairness put back into the system. And the reality is that, it, you know, at least to everything we're seeing here, when you've got somebody who took out $30,000, who paid back $38,000 and still owes $50,000, somebody has to admit, wait a minute, that's just wrong. And the fact that if that's just wrong, then we need to fix this system. Alan, thank you for spending so much time with us tonight on Busted Pencils. Studentloanjustice.org, you do bust pencils. Alan, we will wait to hear from you again. Thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you, Tim. It's been a real pleasure. See you
all
again.
Right, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
That was all right. Alan Collins, studentloanjustice.org. Thank you there. So if you're out there, you know, we had lots of great callers tonight. I know Evan's been busy manning the phones, doing everything he can. You know, we're coming up to the end of the show. I mean, what do we think? What are we going to do here? Student loans. I mean, you know, these are not hypotheticals. Go to studentloanjustice.org, check out their website, look at the real people who have, as we pointed out, a student loan borrower from Florida who took out $60,000, who paid back $60,000 and still owes $100,000+. That's what we're talking about here. This isn't about saying, hey, I want a freebie. I want a pass. I want loan forgiveness because, darn it, I just don't want to pay it back. When you have a system that gets people put into a position where they've paid back the balance of what they owed and they owe more than what they took out, we have to be asking questions. How did this happen? How did we get here? Now, according to Alan and some of the callers there, would restoring bankruptcy rights to student loan borrowers, would that create a better system, an equal system, something that works out for the better? Something's got to give here. We've talked about this, you know, now for, well, it's over a year. What we're hearing is that, you know, sometime in June, the Supreme Court, on just the cancellation, remember, that's the cancellation that President Biden put forth of people with Pell Grants under $125,000, $20,000 of loan forgiveness, other people under $125,000 without Pell Grants, $10,000 forgiveness. That's what's at stake right now at the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court will make that ruling. Regardless of the ruling, even if there is some cancellation that comes out of that, student loan repayment will begin in 60 days. And that's where we're really looking at saying, okay, people haven't been paying for 3 years, according to Alan and studentloanjustice.org. You know, well over 50% of people weren't able to make payments pre-pandemic. Potential estimates of upwards of 80% of borrowers might not be able to make repayment when repayment starts. When that happens, what are we going to do? The possibilities are is that maybe we could put forward a solution instead of just kicking this can and making sure that people, you know, quote, pay their dues. And or some people just get a freebie because they deserve it. Let's solve this problem. Let's look at it. Let's try to come together and say, wait a minute, getting an education, as Tom from LA said, that's an investment in America's future. We want to make sure, invest, education, student loans. We got to do something about it. Busted pencils, fully leaded. Back when we see you again next Tuesday. Have a great night.
Want more Busted Pencils? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
Hey, this is Tim from Rise Against here on Busted Pencils Radio.
This is Matt Damon on Busted Pencils Radio. Please stop bothering me and just ask my mom already.
We are Busted Pencils!